how to make them last. When you're thinking about making molasses or raising sugar cane or sorghum cane for making molasses, there are several things you've got to prepare for. You must plan for planting and preparing the ground first. You need, in order to do this, you need to have a soil sample, and you need to choose the proper seed. You should have a soil sample from the soil that you're going to raise the cane on. It should be sent to the university for analysis and a type of fertilizer recommended. The type of ground that you should choose to raise the sorghum cane, most usually is a sandy type soil, a white looking soil. Usually it's probably some of the worst ground you think you have on your farm. This type of ground is best suited for raising sorghum cane. You definitely don't want to put any type of nitrogen on sorghum. You want to follow your soil test recommendations to the T. You will want to choose a seed. You can go to your local seed or feed store. They will recommend a suitable seed for you to use. The university has developed or are working now on a type seed called Dale, D-A-L-E. This makes a very light colored molasses, which seems to be the most desirable. The lighter the color, it seems to be the most desirable. You can get this, find out about this seed by contacting Dr. Morris Bitzer at the University of Kentucky. He would be glad to talk to you about it and make it available to you. You, of course, then must plow your ground and have your fertilizer and everything ready. You need to work it up real good, as in tobacco. The better you work your ground up, the better weed control you're going to have. You need to do this around the middle of May, or even toward the 1st of May would be even better. This allows you to harvest the molasses early in late in summer, early in the fall. You may put your fertilizer on before planting by broadcasting, or you may put it on later after the cane gets knee high or so. You may want to side dress it. I'm sure everybody's familiar with that, as we do in tobacco. Your seed should be planted, can be planted with a conventional corn planter. It is much better to use a sorghum cane plate in your corn planter to do this with. The reason for using the sorghum plate is because if you use a regular corn plate, it will make your cane too thick, and you will either have to thin it later in order to get the proper situation. Or if you don't thin it, it will make long, thin stalks, and they tend to blow over, and they just don't have as much juice in them as the thicker stalks that you would get if you had a proper population of seed for a sorghum cane. So it is necessary to have this cane spaced properly in order to get enough light in to make it grow, because the bigger the stalk, the more juice you're going to get. After planting, of course, it's like any other crop, you must control the weeds until the plant gets enough start to survive. Now, you can control these weeds by a couple of methods. You either use a hoe, or you can cultivate two or three times until your plant has a good start, or you may need to do both. If you have some weed problems that you can't get with the cultivator, you may need to use a hoe. But it is absolutely necessary to get the proper results to keep the weeds out of it. After you've got your crop planted and you've got your fertilizer on, then you have from May until about August, last of August, 1st of September, that you have the time in there that you can get ready to make your molasses. Now, you can either make it yourself, or you may find someone who's making molasses and processing cane, and you may haul it there and have them process it for a share or for so much a gallon. In our particular case, we have a mill set up on our farm, a mill and a furnace. This mill squeezes the juice out of the stalks of cane. We squeeze the juice from the stalks of cane and empty those into wooden barrels, much like the barrels used in distilleries. From the barrels, it is emptied into a large vat or tray, a metal tray, that is used to boil the molasses, boil the juice until it's turned into molasses. Our mill is powered by power takeoff from a small tractor, and it is made out of a truck transmission. It has three or four rollers that squeeze the juice out of the stalks. The tray or the vat is a metal vat. It is set over a concrete block form, much like an old barbecue grill, only larger. This is this concrete structure is used to hold the heat in. Now, the heat is provided by either wood, which is what we use. It's the old method, but we use wood. There's some problems with wood. It's easy to get. However, it's hard to keep even heat, and you do need to get as even heat as you can under this juice, because it will scorch, and you don't want that, because it makes a bad taste in your molasses. It ruins it. The other way is you may use a gas, and this way you can control heat better, and maybe a little more expensive, but you can control and keep a good even heat. So these are the things you need to get ready if you're going to provide your own meal. You need to get these things ready before harvest time. Now, when harvest time comes, you can cut a piece of the stalk and you can taste the juice, and it'll be real sweet. Your seed on top tends to turn a dark brown, and you will have a maturity date on your seed, which will give you a little better idea from planting time to harvest time. And you may be able to get some help from that maturity date that will tell you how long it takes for that plant to reach maturity. The cane can be cut in two different ways that I know of. One is by using a corn vine. This is the easiest way to do it. We have a one row corn vine that we just go down, and it cuts the cane and puts it into bundles, and ties it into bundles. Then it's easy to handle. It's easy to load and take to the mill for squeezing out or whatever. After it's cut and put out in bundles, it then must be topped. We top it after it's on the ground and take a knife and cut the tops off. But of course, the tops have all the seeds on them. Now, these seeds need to be taken out of there, because it does affect the juice from the seeds, or the squeezing from the seeds affect the quality of the molasses. And also they cause a problem when straining the juice. They get the strainer clogged up, and it just causes a lot of trouble. And it's easier to go ahead and top it after it's laying down, just cut the tops off. So this should be done, definitely. Then the bundles are loaded on the wagons and taken to the mill area, where the juice is squeezed from the stalks. It is fed by one or two men, and you squeeze out all six. In our particular operation, we squeeze about six barrels of juice to get started, to fill our vat to get started on. This will run boiling time, and the time the molasses is finished and out, this will run about 6 hours. Now, if you get an early start in the morning, you may squeeze some more juice, and in order to fill up as you empty out, you may run anywhere from 10 to 12 barrels of juice a day. It's a long day, though. It's from before daylight till dark. It's possible with our setup to run 80 to 100 gallon on a long, long day. You should have, when you get ready to make this molasses in harvest time, you should have a lot of help. There will need to be three or four people at the vat to skim the dark green skim that comes to the top of the juice when it's boiling. This needs to be skimmed off with a skimmer. It's emptied into a barrel and disposed of later on. This is a hot job, and it's just hard work. But you do need to have ample help on hand, preferably 4 to 5 people around the vat. The molasses, as it boils, it moves toward one end of the emptying end of the vat, and you add new juices, it boils away. The molasses is boiled until it reaches a point of thickness where it will fall off of a spoon or a dipper, much in the manner as jelly. It's as thick as jelly, and it strains in that manner. It is emptied at that time into buckets. They must be clean containers, and whether it be buckets, milk cans, anything to store it until you may want to store it into something bigger and then put it into smaller containers for sale. And of course, at that time you can sample it and bring some hot biscuits and butter down and try it out and brag on it then and see the results of hard work. It's very hard work. It is very satisfying to have a good sorghum crop. Your neighbors tend to like you a whole lot around sorghum making time, and you can make pretty good money out of it too. It sells in this area for about $10 a gallon, and in some areas it's higher, and some areas it is a little bit less. It is very important that you try to get this crop in the ground early and get it harvested around the last of August. During the month of September, we usually have the storms that tend to blow the plants over. Then you can't get through with the bind to cut them with the bind, so you either have to cut it by hand or let it waste. It has to be harvested or at least cut down before frost. If a live cane plant is frosted on, it causes a bitter taste in the cane, and it will be no good for making molasses. That is absolutely necessary. It is all right if you have it cut down and it frosts on it. It won't hurt it. You can still squeeze it. But if it is still standing and growing in the ground and the frost hits it, it will ruin the juice. So you can't use it for making molasses. You can, however, salvage it by harvesting the standing cane and putting it in a silo or feeding cattle or something of that nature. But it's no longer any good for making molasses if the frost hits it while it's still growing. So to beat the wind problems, the weather problems, it's best to get the crop in the ground early and get it harvested early. And it makes them all for good eating when it gets cold weather. And that's about it. My name is Ted Gilbert. We live at Route 1 Stamford, Kentucky, in the Maywood section. If anybody would like to sample some good molasses, just come out and see us. We've got plenty of it. Be glad to have you.